It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. Today it's all about Sky Sports Fantasy Football with £50,000 up for grabs for the winner. My name is Joe and joining me ahead of Game Week 31's fixtures is Luke. Luke, how are you?
I'm not bad, Joe. I'm getting over last weekend. Like many of us, I think it was a bit of a tragedy last weekend.
I know. Disaster.
Yeah, captains just not really doing anything. I'm going to get my moan out of the way straight away. For the first time since forever, I think it's the first time ever across multiple fantasy games, I missed the deadline, which was Sunday morning. I was working and basically just time got away from me and I was in an area where I had no signal. So normally I've always got that full safe of, like, you know, the lineups pop up, like, yeah, you know, I've got notifications on Fantasy Football Scout, stuff like that. So none of that stuff came through. But in my mind, I had the first kickoff at 12:30, which obviously was at 12. So I actually turned my phone on to look at 12, bang on. Yeah. And just to see that it's saying it was kicking off, I was like, no, because I was obviously going to do Antonio to Lingard, because Antonio is injured. Mm-hmm. So obviously won't be playing.
Yeah.
And it totally made sense to do so, because obviously you get the game for Lingard versus Leicester. And then there's that Saturday, I think it is, coming up, yeah, where the only two games were basically Wolves playing that you'd won anyway, and West Ham. So I had Neto originally, but obviously he got injured for the season as well, which was another moan of mine.
Yeah.
So I had no option but to bring in Lingard, even if I didn't fancy him. But I did fancy him, because he's, yeah, obviously been pretty good. So that was the move. So I was going to do Antonio to Lingard. And then I missed the deadline. So I was like, oh, for God's sake, yeah, I'm going to have to do it Saturday now. And I'm going to miss out on that game. But hopefully I'll only get 2 points. Of course not. He gets an absolute world star performance.
I mean, I had the opportunity to do that. Same outcome for me. Didn't get Lingard in. Have Antonio. I had Antonio. I actually moved Antonio out for Alexander-Arnold on the previous day. So I was nicely 11 points up. And I was thinking, okay, Neto's injured, the week will go okay. I've got Alexander-Arnold in. That's good. I'm quite happy with loading up on Liverpool. And then I was umming and ahhing. I can do, obviously, Neto to Lingard, no problem. Shall I do that? And I thought, it's Leicester. You'd make the move because just of the timing. And I didn't do it because of just dilly-dallied. I just didn't think you would get it. And then I thought Neto might get better.
Yeah, there was always the chance Neto could recover, but for me it wasn't taking Neto out. So for me it wasn't really, I had no decision, you know. Antonio, yeah, I'd already missed all the days where I could have moved someone, like I could have gone to Trent Alexander-Arnold from Antonio, and I did actually weigh that up. And when he scored, I beat myself up. Yeah. I was like, oh God, I should have done that. But yeah, then having that Saturday the 17th of April is Newcastle home to West Ham, Wolves at home to Sheffield, yeah, United. Well, I'm obviously not going to want any Newcastle or Sheffield United players, and my only Wolves player is Neto, is injured. So I literally had to do Lingard, and yeah, I just missed the deadline. Oh, and yeah, it's just annoying. The first time that ever happens, you know, he hits, like, I don't know how many points he got in the end, but it must be close to like 20 points or something. Yeah. And some people even captained him. Now, I wasn't going to captain him, so I can't claim to do that. It was always going to be Kane for me. Mm. So annoying because where I am, obviously, you've been working extremely hard to move up the ranks, and then that one hit has dropped me. I looked at my rank before yesterday's games, and it had dropped to about 78, so I dropped about 30 places. So that's basically season over now in terms of trying to read it, win it. I mean, I don't think I was going to win it anyway, but it's kind of just depressing to have that hit all in one. Yeah. And then obviously yesterday, Calvert-Lewin is captain, and he didn't even turn up. So it was a tragedy of a week, and I ended on about 40. I think I ended up on 42 points. Just got absolutely destroyed. But yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I wasn't going to win anyway, and I'll move on. And
the
hopefully
way you've got to think about it is through combination of getting the right deadlines, skill, and a bit of luck here and there. You're actually in the top 100 through those various moves. So for me, I was this time last week, I was 530, 40 something. I went up after Saturday to 460 something, and I thought, okay. And now I'm 610.
The power of Lingard. And I don't know if you noticed, but he went up something like 30% because it was just such an obvious move, and so many people have Antonio. I think he went up about 30% ownership in the top 1K. Oh,
it's just devastating.
So it's absolutely devastating. Yeah, exactly. And now, I mean, we're going to show my team in a bit, I think. But I'm literally, I mean, Antonio's injured. Obviously, he's coming out, and for Lingard, unfortunately, which I was going to do. Neto's out for the season. Rafinha's got a knock. I'm hoping he's going to be all right. And Calvert-Lewin missed the game with a muscle injury as well, apparently. So he might miss the game coming up. So that's four players injured. And this is why I've always said about, you know, I've used too many transfers this season, and I knew I wasn't in the running because of that. And towards the back end of the season, you combined with the Man City rotation, you know, people fighting for certain things, and these injuries can happen. Suddenly, you can just get destroyed by it. And, you know, another season, it might not happen and people continue, but it's good to have that cushion of transfers. And I think right now is highlighting it. I mean, I'd literally change about five people in my team if I had the choice.
It's dangerous to do parallels with FPL. It's a different strategy in Fantasy Premier League to Sky. Obviously, the limited transfers is a key change. But one thing I noticed that within Fantasy Premier League, myself and many other people were wildcarding. And they were wildcarding mainly because of the fixture swing. There was a huge fixture swing in favour of the likes of Chelsea, Wolves, Leicester. And of course, West Ham's fixtures remain good. Lingard's form remains good.
Yeah, Arsenal too, you could argue.
So those that did that in Fantasy Premier League did really well. Those that essentially did that in Sky by getting the likes of Iheanacho in, by getting by beefing up their Chelsea contingent, by beefing up their Leicester contingent, looking at Wolves in a non-Neto way, bit of luck there. But also, getting Lingard in will have made that move. And so those like us who didn't do that, we slip behind. So onwards and upwards, I'm not in the running to win it anyway, but I'm still holding out a top 100. We'll see. Let's have a look at the latest tier 2 and man of the match styles for the week. Man of the match is Cody again. He's keeps being mentioned. Dallas, obviously, because he single-handedly destroyed Man City. Maitland-Niles, Bissouma, who sadly for me as a Brighton fan is probably not going to be with Brighton much longer, because it's not that he is too good he's just, you know, he's going to command a big fee, he's going to be an absolute asset, and he's in that sort of role. There's a lot of teams that have in dire need of a Bissouma.
It's exactly that, isn't it? He's the kind of player that's incredibly hard to find, really, that can do a really good job. I mean, Leicester have been very good at finding them in recent years, but he's kind of more of a footballer than some of the ones they've got, even in terms of, you know, like you almost think of him as a DM, but he's got more to offer, I think, even going forward. Someone else might be able to unlock it, maybe in a different system or whatnot.
I mean, whoever is doing the Man of the Match awards, whether it's Dallas's mum or whoever it is, are gonna see. Bissouma is by far the best player on the pitch. For example, De Bruyne is by far the best player on the pitch with Man City playing. There's things like that. So anyway, Saint-Maximin from Newcastle. Bowen. So not Lingard. Lacazette, Salah and Cavani. Now, Lacazette, you can understand. Salah, okay.
No. Salah, not okay.
Okay. Just because... But yeah, I was going to come to this. Salah, okay. Cavani, but it's Bowen and Salah interest me. Why did Salah get it? Is it just because of ownership?
Or is it just honestly Salah? The Salah one. I mean, I, I, I only watched highlights of the game there, so I can't completely say. But in the highlights, I saw he looked pretty bad. Then I looked at the stats, and they weren't particularly good. And then I saw everyone else saying that he was nowhere near the man of the match. But I probably watched about. In fact, no, I did watch some of the match live. I was just distracted doing other things, and he wasn't the man of the match. It's as simple as that. I mean, Trent Alexander for the winning goal.
I thought I was in for some rare secret man of the match points.
Yeah, he just wasn't man of the match for me. I mean, he scored, so at least you can kind of, I guess, understand it. But for me, the whole idea of man of the match for me is to give points to players who don't always get goal contributions and stuff. Yeah. It is literally to reward someone who has had a really, really good game and not necessarily reflected in the points. Now, sometimes that is the point scorer. You know, if someone scored a hat-trick, it's hard to argue that he's not been the man of the match, right? But you know, it's just frustrating, really. I feel like that was a little bit of ownership or laziness almost, but it comes down to that individual match reporter, and sometimes you wonder how much they've watched the game.
Yeah.
You know, some they have to get these match reports out within about 5 minutes of the game finishing, so they're actually writing it while the game's going on. So obviously, how much are they watching the game whilst it's going on? It's hard to know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just not a good system. We've talked about it a lot. Yeah. For me, it wasn't the man of the match. With the Bowen one, I mean, apparently, and again, I didn't see the game, but apparently Bowen was very, very good in this game and possibly standout. So I can see that one. It's just that Lingard, I mean, the story was there. He had incredible goals. It could have easily been Lingard as well, right? But I'm not too worried about that. Yeah. I suppose I would be if I had actually made that transfer and captain, I'd be more annoyed.
I was quite relieved, to be honest, when I saw Bowen's name on there.
Yeah. But on that note, I think Bowen's a good option now, especially if he's playing up front. Yeah. Because it seems that way with Antonio out, he's filled in up there, and he's offering a little bit of what Antonio does. Obviously, not got quite the strength, but he's definitely got the pace and the guile. So
Cresswell is injured as well, which Cresswell's you know, could have been an option at the fullback, but he's playing on the left side of back three now, so it's much lessened. But nevertheless, his some of those set pieces could be taken by Bowen.
That could
raise his profile there. I'm also not entirely sure who's on penalties if Noble's not on the pitch. So he's playing at the moment, but if for the last 20 minutes or so it has been Antonio. Lingard's cheekily taken one.
Didn't the manager say he's never doing it again?
Yeah, he's never doing it again. Yeah. So I wonder.
I wouldn't be surprised though. I mean, yeah, it could be Bowen. I think probably Bowen might be in. It's a decent shout, that, actually.
Wouldn't be the first time we've suddenly seen a surprise penalty taker. And that could be it. Passing tier two, basically, it's the Chelsea and City players.
Every week.
Quite hard to get passing bonus against Leeds side. But nevertheless, City managed it.
And the Liverpool centre-backs didn't, I don't think, which is what we talked about last time. I'm not quite sure whether they are able. I mean, they didn't keep a clean sheet either, so that's when with these Phillips and the like looked like they were good value and stuff, and they still could be, but you know, if they don't get the passing bonus and they ship one goal, which Liverpool seem to be capable of, it's 2 points or six, so I'm not backing.
It's value with Phillips. If I need the money, I'll go there, because one of the reasons I got Alexander-Arnold in was just Liverpool's fixtures are all good, they're good, and I just thought, even if I run out of transfers, if I just stock up with Liverpool, I'm going to have good fixtures to the end of the season. Yeah. So
I really wanted Trent. I mean, that's it. He offers the extra bit, and he's obviously, you know, everyone's talking about him in FPL and stuff for good reason.
Yeah.
Just got a great run and obviously offers that chance of a goal like he did even from open play there, which doesn't happen all the time. But yeah, great pick. And it was really strange because the whole weekend I spent planning, you know, doing, I'm definitely going to do Antonio to Lingard. That's 100%. Mm. Neto's probably out. So I'm either going to go him to Trent Alexander, or I might go to Mount or Madison. Then I heard that Madison's probably not going to play. So it was going to be either Mount or Trent. And I thought, you know what? I'll leave it because I'm not sure on Neto. And if he's back, I won't worry. And then, of course, the two people I considered go and score and do well and get points. It's always the way, isn't it, when you're less aggressive.
And then Neto's out for the season. So
and then Neto's out for the season. yeah, exactly. And I go the other way around and Neto suddenly starts playing and the other two blank. It's, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
I'm not going to beat myself up over that, over player injury, you know, things like that. It just happens. Tackles tier two, Wan-Bissaka in still that intriguing differential. Peters at Burnley, Semedo at Wolves. Fofana I found interesting though, because Fofana's probably my next transfer after Lingard. And then Basuma, just underlying his potential. Saves tier, Martinez again, that's why I'm keeping him. I'm not going to waste a transfer getting rid of Martinez. Guita and Meslier, shots tier 2, Lingard annoyingly, Pulisic, Havertz and Iheanacho. So yeah, I mean lots on my radar there. Leicester are the main ones. So let's have a look at your team and I'll run through it and then we'll see what you can do. You've got Martinez in goal, Azpilicueta, Stones, Diaz, Antonio orange flag, red flag at the moment, Neto red flag, he's out, Fernandez, Rafinha knock, but I think he should be okay, Kane, Calvert-Lewin knock, but by all reports he should be okay, and then Salah. So a lot of flags, and as you said, yes. I mean, how many transfers have you got left? I mean, you can't mess around.
I couldn't say now because I'm out of the running, couldn't I? But it's not a lot. No. Okay. I'm going to keep it under my hat just in case. I'm a few mini leagues, but I mean, there's four flags I've got there. I mean, Neto and Antonio are obviously the main problems. Calvert-Lewin and Rafinha. I mean, the only reason any of us have got Calvert-Lewin is because he's still got another single match day. He's already failed us for one of the captains now. I really hope he's available for that. Otherwise, he wouldn't be anywhere near my team. No. So he's going to stay in the hope that he's still there for that single match day. Otherwise, it just doesn't make sense to get rid now. Annoyingly, because I wouldn't really want him. Rafinha, I mean, even though the fixtures are bad, they then get good before the end of the season. He's just too good a value anyway. Yeah. He's too good a player. He's going absolutely nowhere. Neto is annoying. I'm going to have to get rid of him because he's out for the season, obviously. And I definitely need the West Ham coverage for that. Or I could go Wolves, but I prefer West Ham for that Saturday I talked about. So Antonio to Lingard. So
yeah,
in my mind, am I allowed to count those 20 or 30 points? Because, you know, I would have done it. And wherever I finish, I can add those on.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah.
So he's going to go to Lingard. And then Neto, as you can see, I don't have any Leicester coverage. So the plan was always to go to a Leicester player. It's either going to be Maddison, Fofana or Soyuncu. And I wasn't sure which one I wanted. I'm still not sure, but I get to see the lineup this weekend and I get to decide now. If Soyuncu is back and he's starting, it will probably be him just for that extra security over Fofana, even though I probably prefer Fofana, but just because of the money difference, really. But it'll probably be a Soyuncu. If he's not starting for any reason, I may just punt on Maddison. I'm not sure how fit he is, whether he's going to make all the minutes, but I've got to try something a little bit different. And although the Leicester centre-backs do get passing bonus, clean sheets just seem to be, you know, nowhere near him at the moment. Maybe that will change when Soyuncu comes back. I mean, Amati's been pretty dreadful, I think. Yeah. So that might be part of it. Not sure, but I get to look at the lineup. Those are basically my only two planned moves, though. Lingard and a Leicester player. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just sit for a little while. And then once Calvert-Lewin's served his purpose, I shall probably look to move him on. Who he goes to, I'll be able to afford virtually anyone. So it'll just be who I fancy at the time. I'm not sure at the moment.
Okay, well, let's have a look at my mind's similar. But different, a bit like the latest Fall album for those that remember them. Martinez in goal, Azpilicueta, Alexander Arnold, a nice 11 points, Vestergaard, his customary 0 points, Diaz, Neto, Fernandez, Rafinha, and Kane, Calvert-Lewin, and Salah there. So my moves, or obviously I'm looking at those two single game days for Leicester that are coming up. Is that right? With against West Brom and Palace, so they're amazing. I need to get Leicester.
Although West Brom have suddenly turned into like Barcelona.
Yeah, but nevertheless, Leicester's. Yeah, just got to have Leicester, I think.
Yeah.
So Neto to Lingard was the move I should have done, obviously, last weekend, but didn't. So better late than never. That's just an easy move there. And then Vestergaard to Fofana, so I free myself of Vestergaard finally and get a bit of Leicester. That will take me down to 6 transfers, so I've currently got 8. I need to do these 2, so that's going to get me to 6. As you said, Calvert-Lewin, he's got to serve a purpose at the moment for those single days, so I'm going to keep him, but I'm looking to offload him in May. Let's see what May's fixtures throw up and he'll go there. But I've got another, I mean, I think I need a bit more Leicester, but I'm not sure what to do. Iheanacho would be one. Soyuncu is one. So I won't have that much left over. I'll have... not sure I want to get rid of anyone else apart from Calvert-Lewin. So I might end up just having Fofana. I would like to have Fofana and Soyuncu.
That'd be nice, yeah.
Not sure it can be done unless I dump someone I don't particularly.
Well, before I had my injuries, that was before Neto got injured. Obviously, Neto was just going to be a season-long thing because Wolves were great season-long. So for me, I had Stones and Diaz. Now, I didn't expect... I wanted to get that extra player from a different team rather than a double up, and I didn't expect Stones to play. I mean, we got to see the lineups this week and he played, but I think part of that was due to the fact that Laporte was injured. I don't think he would have played if Laporte was injured, personally.
No.
And now Laporte's back. So for me, I always had the plan to keep Neto and move Stones to dive a double up on the Leicester defence or go Maddison and a defender. Yeah. That was always my plan. But now, because of all the other injuries and the transfers I had to use elsewhere, Stones is now in for the season, unfortunately. So he could end up only playing two or three games left. Mm-hmm. But I just can't chance take you know using my final transfers on stuff like that.
The other thing is, Rob Holding is attempt to just... I think I can get away with no Everton if I go for Rob Holding because one of the clashes is Arsenal-Everton.
Yeah, again, he's just a risky player for Sky. He worked fantastically well for me back a few months ago.
He basically fills in for David Luiz. If David Luiz is back, Holding's probably lost his place, and that would be massively annoying with, say, one transfer or no.
I'm not sure why that actually happens, to be honest. I think Holding might actually be the better option than Luiz these days.
Yeah, I mean, he's only left-sided centre-back currently, so...
Oh, Gabriel and Mori are the left-sided ones.
Oh, sorry, he's only right-sided one. Sorry, the right-sided one. So let's move on to the fixtures. Game week 32, a lot of days. So we've got a lot to go for, and we've also got game week 33 in mind, but we'll come to that next week in more detail. Everton Tottenham, I'm going to be captaining Harry Kane. I presume you will as well.
Yeah, not even a second thought. Even if Calvert-Lewin's in the lineup, it will just be Kane. Yeah.
Newcastle against West Ham, Wolves against Sheffield United. I was going to captain Neto against the worst defence in the league. I'm now not. I'm going to have to get Lingard in against Newcastle. I don't know. I think Newcastle have quite a good record against West Ham. And Newcastle at home are a devil. You think they're going to get beaten, but they don't get beaten by a lot.
No, but Lingard's the best player in the world. So,
but he's certainly the best player on Saturday the 17th of April in Sky. I don't know about the world. Sunday the 18th of April, Arsenal against Fulham, Manchester United against Burnley, Fernandes, presumably.
Yeah.
I think he's a great option. But I also think if you've got Lacazette and Aubameyang's definitely out, that is a good...
Well, we get to see the lineup, don't you?
So that's a great differential there, because Fulham are not adapting so well with the relegation struggle as Newcastle are, and certainly as West Brom are. So they could be the team to target. Monday the 19th of April, Leeds against Liverpool. You've got some choices here. I don't know. Salah, Alexander-Arnold, Rafinha. It'd probably be Salah, but I don't rule out Alexander-Arnold.
No, I'll be on Salah. He's my only real option. I mean, I could do Rafinha, and I think he could do well, but I don't think Leeds' options are the worst. So Bamford, Rafinha, if you don't have Salah, I think you don't have to have him for this game at all, but mine will be Salah, yeah.
Chelsea against Brighton, Azpilicueta for me. I think if you've got the likes of Mason Mount as well, great. Now, this is after, if I got this right, this is after the City game, where the FA Cup game.
I think so.
And they've obviously just played in the Champions League. So I got a feeling there'll be rotation in this. Looking at the three matches, this looks the least, the most prone to rotation.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be mass, just because they still need, obviously, to secure that top four spot. But, I mean, he rotates the fullbacks, and it has he's done throughout, or wingbacks, I should say, throughout his entire career. So I think they're obviously prime position to do it. They've obviously got three centre-backs, so maybe one of them rotates, maybe one of the midfielders. I don't think he'll be all across the board, but there will be some rotation. Obviously, you get to see the lineup, so if you are planning to bring one in, that's handy, but... Yeah, I think we could get unlucky. I mean, I've got Azpilicueta. If he doesn't start that game, I'm screwed. I don't know what I'd do, to be honest. I may have to look at bringing in another Chelsea asset, which wouldn't be the worst idea. But, this Champions League and Cup's going to continue, isn't it, if they're still in it? And it may still happen. I think Mason Mount is still just a good option in general.
Yeah.
I just think, even in that last game, he looked incredible. Like, he was so good. I think he got man of the match, didn't he? He did, yeah. He had shots on goal. Honestly, the amount of times he set up someone who should have scored,
And they didn't. He could have ended up with a hat trick of assists easily. But the problem is they just don't seem to find the net with those opportunities. No. And he does this quite often. He's almost like that Tadic player in a little way where he's heavily involved. He's number 10, you know, Eriksen. There's a number of them over the years, although Eriksen did develop that side toward the later stage of his career. So I still think the Chelsea defenders, I mean, Rudiger's still probably a better option, maybe, because they just get so many clean sheets.
I mean, in my third team, which I'm just mucking around with, I've got Lewis Duncan, and obviously rewarded me with the captaincy, nice 18.
Yeah, turned out the best captain that
way. Yeah, in my team that I don't care about, but anyway. It's that stage of the season where Lewis Duncan plays, he gets tier two, and Brighton's fixtures, they've got an okay little run of fixtures as well. I just think, you know, it might not be the worst decision just to go for that if Aspilicueta's out.
I think if you look at the lineup and Havertz starts, the way Havertz is playing up front at the moment and getting so many opportunities, I mean, he could have easily scored three or four goals. He played well, but his finishing was just almost at the goalkeeper every single time. And if he could have just put it to the side or a little bit more power in his shots, he almost tried to be too, I don't know, he's almost like a Kaká or someone like that, just trying to be elegantly stroke the ball in, and it just didn't. That's fine when it goes in, but when it doesn't, it looks like you've just messed up the chance.
Yeah, he's looking really good, isn't he?
He is, yeah. So if he's up front for that game, he's a good punt for the end of the season, because we don't have many midfielders with that explosive potential, and he's obviously one of them if he's playing up top.
Next day, Harry Kane again, Tottenham against Southampton. This out of the two Tottenham games in this game week looks the best one. Southampton's defence is awful. It's one of the worst in the league at the moment. And Aston Villa against City. So, I think we should move on. Harry Kane it is.
We don't get to see the City lineup, do we? So it's going to be Kane for nearly the whole game. I mean, if you've got Son, I think he could be good in this, because Southampton do push up the field quite a lot, and we know Spurs will sit deep. So even if Spurs score early, they'll then sit back and Southampton will push up. So the game will be perfect for Son. And if I was willing to take a punt, I'd probably go with him. But
now Leicester against West Brom, that's where I'm going to be making sure Fofana's in. But now here's something here for anyone who's got...
You're going to try and sell me Pereira, aren't you?
There is Pereira, but I was going to actually think about... So say this happens. We get to Friday the 16th of April, the beginning of this game week, Everton against Tottenham, Calvert-Lewin's still out, and it's one of those annoying Aston Villa manager styles. Oh, I'm expecting him back soon, and he just never is. So if that happens, I would then be tempted to move another player on and get Holding in and just go for it. Just go for an Arsenal player, be done with it. Cheap Arsenal player against Fulham. And that means I have then got Arsenal covered in the beginning of game week 33 against Everton, and that would allow me to remove Calvert-Lewin for that Leicester game. And that would take me down quite dangerously down on my transfers. But my hatred now of Calvert-Lewin after this terrible Sunday I had, and then to compound it all, having Vestergaard and Calvert-Lewin on my Monday was too much. I feel I should punish him by removing him.
Some people captained Ward-Prowse and he missed a penalty and got like minus two. So if anything, you did all right. You did par on that day for most people. But no, that's a good shout, because if Calvert-Lewin is out for that game against Arsenal, then moving Calvert-Lewin after he plays against... Well, no, that wouldn't make sense, because he'd obviously play against Spurs if he was back. But let's say he doesn't play against Spurs, and then he's going to be out. Then you get to see the Arsenal lineup versus Fulham.
Yeah,
it's not just Holding. I mean, there's obviously a lot of options: Lacazette, Saka. Quite a few if you're willing to tempt it. It's risky with them in Europe, but then that gives you a differential captain almost on Friday the 23rd. Alternatively, you could just wait until Friday the 23rd and have a look who's playing, of course.
Yeah, and also, but on that Leicester, it's more about just freeing up that striker spot. I've got three strikers. I like Kane and Salah. It's Calvert-Lewin I just don't want anymore.
Iñacho has been the play, hasn't he? And I keep saying I'm not willing to take the risk, because I feel like he might drop out any point when Maddison and Barnes are back. But with every passing week, he's getting points, it's not looking like... I mean, it looks like if anyone would come out, it'd be Vardy, which is almost unquestionable. But he's just been so good, hasn't he? So I think maybe he just stays in.
I believe that age is catching up on Vardy. I think he's going to have some flourishes this season and next season, but that's all it's going to be. And I think Iheanacho is clearly the one. I mean, he had those stats at City. He was one of the most clinical strikers in Europe at the time, weirdly. He was kept appearing on these kind of tables. You know, whenever he played, he took his chances as well. So, you know, he's certainly fulfilling the promise at the moment. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, this is speculating at the moment. At the moment, I definitely want Leicester. Definitely want Lingard. If I want to move some remaining transfers and get more Leicester, Calvert-Lewin definitely on the move out. And just for next week, what we're going to do is look at game week 33. That starts on Friday, the 23rd of April. And as we said, it's Arsenal and Everton is a single game day. So I want coverage of that. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's that. There's also that other single game day there we'll talk about, which is Leicester Crystal Palace, which finishes that off on Monday the 26th. Let's have a look at some of the questions that we've got from the community. So I'm going to read these neat. So hopefully there's no swearing or anything abusive in them. Because I haven't managed to edit them into the notes yet. So Ian Parrin, he's clean and he knows his way around fixture table. Ian Parrin asks, for those with a few transfers in hand, would you recommend just playing the straightforward captaincy options for the 11 successive fixture days already announced? So this is quite, as he was alluding to, 32 and 33, a lot of captaincy days. Mm. Is there a chance that the final five game weeks throw in some curveballs and the opportunity for much bigger gains? So yeah, what I was talking about there, do I use these transfers, build up Leicester, or just think, hang it, just leave it for May? I mean, what should we do?
Yeah, it's so hard to visualise. I'm a manager who needs it there in black and white in front of me, and when it's not there, it's hard to plan for it so well. And obviously, Ian Parrin's very good at that. If anything, he should be answering this over me. I think apart from Leicester, because they've obviously got those two obvious ones right here, you don't need necessarily any of the other ones. These are all kind of like you could do to maybe gain an edge. So yeah, I think as long as you've got Leicester covered. Saving those transfers, like I talked about at the start, there's going to be some more teams that start rotating because they don't need certain things. We've got injuries coming through left, right, or certainly I have. I'm sure other people have because a lot of those players are highly owned. You will be able to make massive gains in the last weeks. It's no different. It's a little bit different this season, Sky, in terms of the best managers are already up there, but it's not going to be any different where a lot of them won't have very many transfers for the final few weeks because there's also the pressure they're feeling at the top where they feel they need to cover the light. I mean, anyone who hasn't got Lingard's basically had to move on to him, right? They've had no choice. You know, they will have had some injuries like me as well. And if you've got extra ones, I have no doubt there will be gains to be made in the final few weeks.
Juzzy P, is it worth bringing Son in by moving out a big hitter like KDB or Salah? Well, I would say if you've got Kane, and Spurs aren't all that great shakes, to be honest, I personally wouldn't bother with that move at all. But would you?
I mean, it's really hard to answer. I mean, I don't think it's the optimal play, but I think if you're second or third in your mini league, the guy in front's got Kane and you pretty much can't catch him, then, you know, dropping a Salah or even a Kane for a Son and then captain him over the double and then Son goes mental, then obviously you've got a chance of winning a mini league. If that's literally your only chance, I mean, it's running out. The opportunities are running out. So I can understand it from that point of view, but I certainly wouldn't recommend it to anyone unless it's specific to, you know, that mini league or whatever.
Okay. Keith Ledger says, I have Mason Greenwood in his, I believe that's the Telegraph team, for three game weeks and he's going well, but should I give him a run in my Sky team or just rely on Fernandez for captaincy? So Mason Greenwood and or Bruno, so let's just assume it's and as well as to add on, same principle I guess. If you're chasing and your rival's got Fernandez, I suppose, could that be a move, Mason Greenwood?
I don't like it. I mean, I like Greenwood and I get the differential side, but I think after Burnley and Leeds, I don't think their fixtures are that. I mean, they play Liverpool, Villa, Leicester. That's a hard little run of three games. They're obviously still in a lot of other cup competitions in Europe and stuff. And then they end with Fulham, Wolves. Well, Fulham might be fighting for their lives. They might be down at that point. You're not sure. Maybe Wolves is a decent game, but we all know nearly every game's 0-0 by half time with them. It's more to do with the fact that Greenwood just doesn't shoot enough. He's very clinical in his shots, but he doesn't shoot enough. So therefore, he doesn't often get shooting bonus. I mean, even in the last 2 weeks where he's scored, He's got 8 points and 9 points in his last two games. He got shots here against Brighton, but he didn't get it against Spurs. And he got a goal and an assist, but that's rare. I mean, you just go through his points before these 2 weeks, and it's literally 2-1, 2-2, 1-1, 2-1, 2. Now, obviously, that can change, but I don't like players that are prone to that all the time, and he is one of them. So I think there's better options, probably. I think there is. I mean, Iheanacho for a start.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. He would be my top target. Up top. Lee Williams asked, for someone who's got three City and he's obviously smarting from his recent blanks with those against Leeds, in his case he's got Cancelo, Edison and Diaz, is it worth moving two of them on and keeping just one for the captaincy, and if so, who goes? I mean, I personally would keep Diaz and just jettison everyone else myself, but
yeah, I mean, you could argue Diaz though. We're still of this mindset that Diaz is going to play every game, but if he's being protected from injury because he wants him for the cup and the league and you could get injured in a pointless game, then it makes sense to rest Diaz in every game. And he did rest him this week. Yeah. So I think Edison is completely nailed. I don't think that's in question by anyone. So probably the safest play is to keep Edison and Jessen the other two. But I'm going to keep Diaz. I think nearly everyone else will be. Mm. So it's kind of like you're in safe ground there and you would be quite differential to get rid of him. And then obviously we know Diaz can get 10 points every game he plays. So I'd be tempted to keep Edison and Diaz and just, I'd almost certainly get rid of Cancelo now. The thing with Cancelo, he doesn't seem to be in his best 11 at the moment, which means he might play a little bit more in the league. But again, we're just second guessing Pep all over the place. And there's going to be too many other players like the Leicester defenders that you're pretty sure are going to play every game. So I think it's more than justified to get rid of Cancelo now. And then if you had to choose out of Diaz and Edison, Edison's probably more nailed. So maybe I'd keep him.
But definitely, I mean, I think I'm just going to keep Diaz because it's just not worth a move.
The thing is, Edison, if he keeps a clean sheet, he gets 9 points because the extra points. Mm. Diaz, if he keeps a clean sheet, will get tier two passing and get 10 points. Mm. So there's not much in it, really, between those two. Mm. Yeah.
Tom Hartnell. Oh no, Steve Wright asks. I don't know if that's the Radio 2 DJ Steve Wright, but it's, in my head it is. Calvert-Lewin to Iheanacho for the West Brom game. Is that worth it? Which is exactly what my dilemma means. Arsenal and Everton the day after in game week 33 would be a skip. So he's thinking of not bothering with Arsenal. Just get rid of Calvert-Lewin anyway for Iheanacho.
Just getting rid of him completely. It could work out easily, couldn't it? But if we know Calvert-Lewin's playing the game and you just won't have a captain, right? That's 4 points straight away thrown away just if he does nothing in that Arsenal game. You know, assuming he doesn't get booked.
Yeah.
So the player you're bringing in Iheanacho, even if he's captain or whatever, he's obviously got to make up those 4 points in that game alone.
Yeah.
It's a tough ask. It's not guaranteed by any means. So
I personally wouldn't do the move unless I had coverage.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm at.
So if I can get Arsenal for that Fulham game, I will.
Mm.
And that would signify end of Calvert-Lewin. It's not the optimal way to play, but it's just a way of getting rid of someone that has annoyed me.
Yeah. Well, also, Everton, they have been pretty good away from home overall. I know they've not been great of late, but their players are coming back. Coleman's back. James Rodriguez is back. You know, I know they had a lot of players out in their last game, but I feel like once their team is fully at it and away from home, they could cause Arsenal problems in that game, I think. Mm-hmm. But Calvert-Lewin, it doesn't look like the kind of player that Holding and such would actually want to go up against, in my opinion.
Luke NDN asked on a similar thing about Iheanacho. Should we back the Leicester attack and defence in order to stand a better chance of gains on their single game days, and also just in general, really. He's just getting Fofana enough. I don't feel comfortable just getting Fofana.
We've seen this before with the Man City run. Yeah. I mean, they're not in the same category, but the more Man City players you had over the good run, the better. And if I had unlimited transfers and a wild card right now, I'd have multiple Leicester assets in my team. Yeah. So, yeah, if you can do it, then why not?
Yeah, I think I'm with those members of the community there on that. And Tom Hartnell asked a similar thing about Calvert-Lewin, what to do. Sounds like he might be back soon, so shouldn't do anything rash, really. But I want rid after this Arsenal game. It's just burning a hole in my team. I mean, I think that is the sensible play. As much as I want to get rid of him, keep him for that Arsenal game, then you'll get the fixtures for May, and then you can do whatever you like.
Yeah, things change very quickly as well, as we know in fantasy. And right now, when Iheanacho, Lingard, all these players look like they're absolutely 100% needed, but they didn't look anything like that a few weeks back. Go back a few weeks and Iheanacho and Lingard would have been nowhere near your list.
Mm. No.
So, you know, that could all change around again. Yeah. Sometimes you skip this little hype and then suddenly there'll be a few new players that no one else will be able to jump on, and you will. So.
And it's also not like Calvert-Lewin's a flash in the pan. He was doing this last season. He's doing it this season. Ancelotti loves him. You know, he's fulfilling that promise as a great number nine, playing, scoring for England. He's not a flash in the pan. So, him being a bit injured and not scoring for a couple of matches, as much as I'd like to punish him for that, he's still a good player, and so he still could do well. Arsenal in that Arsenal game. It's not like Everton and Arsenal games haven't been high scoring in the past. I know it's different personnel management, but, you know, you never know. So, yeah.
There's other strikers I prefer. Is it worth a transfer to take out when assuming he's fit? Not for me until after that game. And even then, you could argue you could just leave him in. But I'd like to get rid of him.
Well, thanks, everyone, for your questions. Before we go, a quick reminder, obviously, the Fantasy Football Scout members area. Do have a look at that. Full of useful stats there. And also, do press like if you've enjoyed this episode. And remember to subscribe wherever you hear this podcast, and also on our YouTube channel to make sure you keep up to date with our latest videos, which is great. But in the meantime, Luke, thanks so much for your time, and better luck in game week 32.
Cheers, mate. Same to you, and I'll see you on the next one.